Welcome to the MadTech Podcast special from ExchangeWire, a weekly deep dive into a pressing industry issue.
Hello and welcome to the MadTech Podcast. Today we have a special episode focusing on attention through the lens of paid social. I'm Amy, editor at ExchangeWire, and I'm joined today by Chloe Singleton, performance director at content and social agency 8n4. Welcome to the pod, Chloe. How are you doing?
Yeah, great. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you here. I'm looking forward to our discussion. Chloe will also be joining us at ATS London in a few weeks' time on the panel discussing redefining attention through innovation and metrics. So do get your tickets to join us on the 9th of September if you want to hear that discussion, as well as many others covering the biggest topics in ad tech. So today we'll be discussing how attention is reshaping the ad ecosystem and looking at some of the benefits and challenges of using attention as a metric within paid social advertising. So to start with, to what can we attribute the widespread adoption of attention metrics over the past few years?
Yeah, so I think this is a really good question because there's actually so much that we can talk about here, from like privacy changes to ad fatigue all the way to better tech. I think just to start actually at the beginning, like privacy changes as a whole really limited traditional tracking. And that was like a really huge factor for us, essentially making all of our advertising playbooks obsolete. I mean, if you go back to cookie policies, for example, was brands losing up to 40% of their data if users aren't accepting them. You know, we had Apple's app tracking transparency feature. You know, that was an estimated 60 to 80% would opt out. I mean, I actually accept all of these because, you know, working marketing, I feel like I have to kind of stand with the crowd there. But then I suppose like in general, like ad blockers as well, about 30% of the internet are using those. So that's just another layer of like tracking lost for us. And I'd say agencies like ours, we kind of face that widening gap between like platform tracking to like GA4 data and then like actual data from the brand. So whether that's like sales, for example. And I think like one of the other kind of factors when we're talking about this is just the fact that from a digital landscape, we're kind of drowning in ads as well, but at the same time, we're barely noticing them. So it's like a kind of contradiction there. I think we're consciously aware of about 100 ads a day. And they used to say it was about 10,000 ads a day, but that's just impossible, right? Like, I don't think I've seen 10,000 ads a day. And maybe they're like around, but like, you're not actually consciously noticing them, are you?
But
that means like attention isn't just like a nice to have for marketers. It's proof that your ad didn't just vanish into the abyss of the 10,000 ads that we're supposed to see a day. And I think like even in a more egotistical way, it's validation that what you did resonated, which is, I suppose, just a nice thing to kind of think about your ad in like the world of attention. And then I guess the third point when it comes to why has adoption of attention metrics grown so much is thinking about the tech side as well. So at my previous job, we used to use moat tracking religiously. So we would be looking at viewability as a metric. So verifying the quality of ad impressions. So for us, if 50% of the ad pixels were visible for 2 seconds, that was a success. That was like, great, perfect. It's done well, it's performed well. But obviously now that's evolved into capturing actual meaningful attention beyond just like, was it seen? Was it actually engaged with? And I think we have better research around attention correlating with business outcomes. And like one of those examples, I guess you've probably heard about the Currys case study, right? So their CEO said that they have a whole new generation of customers discovering their brand thanks to what they're doing on social media, specifically what they're doing on TikTok. So they invested more budget into TikTok. They successfully engaged a younger audience, and then their profits increased by 52% year on year. So that, again, just like from a social media perspective, is just a really nice case study for us to be like, okay, so what we're doing on social from a paid perspective, organic, owned creators, is actually correlating to business results, which is a really tough one, I would say, to prove.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I have heard quite a lot about what Currys are doing at the moment. Lots of people liking the way they're advertising, which is, yeah, it's cool to see. But yeah, like you said, there's to start with, there's been so many changes in the privacy landscape over the past few years. And yeah, we're so bombarded with ads now that, you know, actually getting people's attention and manage to kind of hold onto it is really something.
Yeah.
So how would you say attention is actually reshaping the advertising ecosystem?
Yeah, so I think like it's been shifting perception of what we would call a valuable metric. So it's been quite a slow but meaningful change from vanity to like quality metrics. And, you know, there's still clients out there who really care about the vanity side, and that's fine. But I think you obviously need to couple that with the quality metrics as well. In general, like marketers, agencies, brands, we've been working with data overload for a very long time. And like, we thought that was helping us. But now we're kind of like shining a light on the gaps, and it's actually created more gaps. So you're kind of like, that data that you had, was it actually the right? Was it showing what we were actually doing, or actually was it just like a summation of potentially what we were doing? You know, brands and agencies use 3.8 measurement tools on average. So let's round it up to four. Four measurement tools on average, right? So you're looking at different definitions, different ways of measuring, different attribution. And like 55% of marketers have actually seen their data contradict itself. So you're kind of living in a place where you're like, oh God, we've got to relearn what we thought we knew about the way advertising works and how it was attributed, measures of success, channels we rely on. And there's kind of been a flip in terms of marketing activity that's being prioritized. And we've heard this more consistently this year for sure. And that's that social feels like the heart of digital advertising now. Whereas before it was maybe a line in a media plan. So it was supplementing TV or search had the biggest budget. Now campaigns start on social as that kind of powerhouse for business growth. And I think in part that's because of the kind of direct line for meaningful engagement and that attention element as well. You can quite quickly see if something's landed or not. And that's also the beauty of like community insight, right? Like you put something out on social, a paid ad on social, you know quite well if you've got it wrong. You know quite quickly if you've got it wrong. But then also I suppose like because of social search as well, that's shaping discoverability and user behavior in a brand new way. So seismic shifts in social SEO and search. And for paid social activity, we're looking at that as well, like platform specific social SEO across YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, just making sure that the content that we're putting out there is actually valuable.
Yeah. And so could you expand a bit on some of the main benefits of using attention as a metric in paid social?
So I think the first one is just having that authority or boldness to move away from a traditional channel mix. Like paid social as an example, historically like Meta placements have been first on our media plan. Like it feels safe, feels like a safe channel. You know, we all had Facebook as our first platform growing up that's got the audience targeting, which is pretty advanced. And people still use it. I mean, I actually still use it mainly to kind of look at Facebook groups. But clients do expect it on a media plan. But what I've seen now in a shift is when we're using attention as a metric for success, we're being more authoritative with the platforms that we put forward. So focusing on high reward ones like TikTok or contextual ones like Reddit. And I think it's a really great time for agencies and brands to completely evaluate everything that they've been doing or that we've been doing as marketers, but like doing it through that lens of relevancy, value, discoverability. And I think that's where the creative innovation piece comes into. So within my team, we're always on the lookout for the new innovative ad releases. So like interactive add-ons on TikTok are a team favorite. So really simple, cost-effective way to grab attention. I don't know if you've ever played with them, tilted, swiped, shook your phone, but they are like a really great ad format to unlock hidden content. And we work with Blue Robot as well. So we have a partnership with them and they specialize in those kind of measurable moments of action. So we've done like branded notifications, emoji engines on Instagram, like Spotify playlist generations. And these are like interactive and automated ways to grab attention of users through the use of paid social. And that's definitely a key benefit of using attention as a metric, because it forces you to think about how you're supposed to grab attention, especially on social when you're competing with so much. And I suppose, but you mentioned attention before, like users' attention spans aren't shrinking. It's just our tolerance for like bad creative is lower than ever. And I think like that's how you change your measurement approach, just leaning into that paid social space with the creative innovation side as well.
Yeah, that's so true. We want to see good ads, not bad ads.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now what about some of the main challenges advertisers are facing using attention in paid social?
I would say there's probably a lack of universal definition or like standardized measurement approach. So we've experienced where we're working towards one goal, but stakeholders are holding us to account for a completely different metric. And then on top of that, there's kind of that resistance to fall back into traditional KPIs. And I completely get it. Like if it's comfortable, right, and it's easy to understand. So if you're looking at one metric across all digital channels, then that's so much easier to understand than bespoke reporting frameworks per channel. But actually it's quite an unfair benchmarking process to measure programmatic, display, search, social, all under the exact same KPI. So it really actually does need that bespoke approach to it. And that kind of goes back to like a reporting framework 2.0 that we call on social. Like that's not going to work for display, but if we're talking about reporting framework 2.0, instead of impressions or reach, we're looking at brand mentions, share of sentiment. Instead of just, you know, mass link clicks, we're looking at owned engagement, landing page views. And then instead of like GA4 bookings, we're running conversion lifts. We're looking at incremental bookings and signups and things like that. And that's not going to work for display as such, because they're quite, you know, social heavy. So yeah, it really is about that lack of universal definition and education. I do have two more challenges that I just thought of. There actually could be a higher cost to entry for measuring attention. Because it is such a broad metric, it can be interpreted in lots of different ways. So there's kind of a higher cost to getting it right with the tools that are going to help you understand it. So like if you're thinking of it from a paid social perspective, that could be in the form of brand lifts or conversion lifts. And we used to like rely on those really heavily a few years ago, but they seem to be having a comeback, which is great. And they're more manageable now. They're not as expensive. But then you also have specialist tools that you need licenses for, like Double Verify or like social listening tools like Meltwater. So from a brand perspective, you're looking at share of voice, brand mentions, so a more holistic measurement process. But these are tools that come with costs, right? So that is a challenge for advertisers. If you're going to be using attention as a metric, you need to know how to measure it properly with the right tools where you're showing it in a way that is understandable and is going to be, I guess, digested easily by stakeholders. Because if they're not on board, then it does sometimes feel like a bit of a fruitless task.
Yeah, definitely. So do you think we can expect to see kind of more standardization soon? Or what do you think that's looking like in the future?
I hope so. I think I would love to see better integration between like attention and action. I don't know exactly how that looks yet, but I think there's a lot of, summations when it comes to attention. And perhaps it's more enhanced and advanced ways of understanding it fully. So like, yes, there's eye tracking and interaction rates, but from a paid social perspective, it does feel like we're a bit further along when it comes to how we measure attention. Even like a metric as simple as saves and shares on social, like that really validates how much you've captured the attention of your audience if they're actually willing to share your paid social ad to someone or save it down for a later date. So I think it's, yeah, moving to like clearer intent signals. Like I mentioned Currys earlier as an example where I said that they had a 52% increase in their revenue since doing that TikTok strategy. But when it was doing the rounds on LinkedIn, there were still people in the comments being like, no, no way, like debunking the whole thing, being like, that can't all be due to TikTok. You probably did something else. It must have been X, Y, Z, all these other reasons. So even when you do have a good social story, you can still poke holes in it quite easily. So yeah, I mean, I'd love to see it develop, but I think it's, yeah, it is a tricky one. I also think another way that it could develop, kind of based on like the Curry style, but like the dominance in episodic video content. Two that really stand out to me as doing it really well are Elf Cosmetics. I don't know if you've come across the Cosmetic Criminals. That is the true crime parody. So they worked with a bunch of online personalities and actors. And I think three times I was scrolling on TikTok and I got sucked into the ad, thinking it was just like an owned piece of content, and then being like, oh, it was an ad. But like, that's the best way to like,
yeah,
reel people in, is that when they don't realize that it's an ad. And it wasn't like, you know, a 5-second ad, it was pretty chunky.
Yeah, that's always a good way, definitely.
For sure. And then like InStyle magazine are doing it really well as well. So they've got three series of episodic content called The Intern, and it's like scripted social series. They drop episodes weekly, they support it with paid spend. Like that is a very innovative way to capture the attention on TikTok, where you're essentially taking what TV used to or still does do, but you're making it, you know, modern and for the right kind of audience that you want to get in touch with. And yeah, those are two that I kind of really am enjoying right now, the kind of skit humor side of it.
Yeah, that's definitely a good way to do it. I've actually not seen those ones by Elf, so I'll go have a look.
Oh yeah, yeah, go have a look. If you watch The Intern on
Instagram,
go watch it. Free series.
Yeah, I'll do it after this. Definitely. So yeah, how else do you kind of see the attention space developing within the coming years?
I think a bigger push for value-based interaction. So like I mentioned before, like the innovation element that our team focus on, but as users become accustomed to that, they'll always want more. So like I'm talking about the excitement of a gesture ad, swiping and tilting and shaking your phone. Like, I mean, if that's just becomes standard, then what is next to grab attention? Because like I said, like we always, we have that low tolerance for bad creative. And if it's repetitive creative, that's even worse. So you've got to kind of think about that value-based interaction. IAM4, we kind of work on like a fully integrated way so that when we respond to a brief, it is creative, paid activation, PR, influencers. So we try to, I guess, touch all bases and like reach as much of our audience as we can. But it's always a struggle to be like, okay, what's the next really interesting, innovative way on paid social to grab attention? So we're always literally on the lookout for like, what has TikTok released? What has Spotify released as an ad format where we can test it and we can use it? But then I suppose we also have like emerging platforms and like niche communities. So I think this is, you know, a really interesting space for the word attention to develop in the coming years. So like the rise of Reddit, for example, they've seen a massive increase in their ad spend and in their user base, but it's a completely different approach to what we would typically do with paid social. So if we're looking at paid social ads on Reddit, they're contextual, they're kind of, you know, slotting in at the right places, but we're always questioning, actually, should a brand even be there on Reddit? Should they just be eavesdropping? Should they just be like listening and finding out consumer insights or like that kind of nugget of info that can maybe help them with a future campaign idea? Or actually they just get, you know, raw, unfiltered insight into their brand just from like being nosy in subreddits. And that's like a different kind of attention, because it's not attention in the sense that we've been describing it, but it's attention of like your understanding the way that consumers talk about your brand and feel about your brand And then you're taking that information and you're tailoring your future paid strategy or digital strategy around those kind of nuggets of insight.
Yeah, that's so valuable as well, seeing how consumers actually perceive the brand and definitely like using it to your advantage, all the things that you see there behind the scenes.
Yeah,
definitely.
I saw something on LinkedIn, I think it was last week, the CEO of Huel, he said that all brands should be on Reddit, not just necessarily having an own presence, but literally just reading what people are saying. Because there's a subreddit of like 36,000 hooligans, they call themselves. And he was like, it's literally the best like focus group ever without actually having a focus group, because he just gets all the feedback from them about product development, about like what's next. And that's how he drives the brand forward. It's just very smart.
Yeah, that sounds perfect, because Reddit is also quite like unfiltered, like people don't really, they'll just say what they think and give their opinions. So yeah, that sounds ideal.
I think a lot of brands are scared of Reddit, but I feel like once you get in there, once you kind of overcome the overwhelm, when you land on the page and you see all these like opinions and thoughts being thrown about, there's some very like nice communities within there.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, well, I think that's a good note to end on. Thanks so much, Chloe, for all your insights. That was a really interesting discussion.
Great. Yeah, it was great to talk to you.
Yeah. Thanks so much. And thank you to all our listeners. That was today's MadTech Podcast special.
Thanks for tuning in to this MadTech Podcast special. We'll be back to discuss another hot industry topic soon.